My dear friends, I hope you had a blessed day. Father had a lot to say, but before we start, I would like to give you my peace. Father and I spoke this past Tuesday, and here is what he had to say. My very dear Team Triland, I wish you love. I'm sorry, let me rewind. My very dear Team Triland, I wish you love filled with peace. A very happy good evening to all of you. For some time now, we have been speaking about my son's announcement. For some of you, it still fills your hearts with dread. What I do not understand is why you would do this, or why you would do this. I have given my word that he will be announced in June of this year. Perhaps you wonder how all of this will take place. I know that you wonder if the apostle will ever see the light. I have told all of you that Carl is the Saul Paul of your time. He is still on the fence. I will tell you that he was being influenced by Satan for some time. Many in the church who hold a leadership role are. But since Triland bound Satan and all his evil brothers, much has changed. But man is weak and seems to always gravitate towards evil. I am at the point where I may send HS to shake him and speak directly to him, but his heart is so hardened against my son that I do not think he would even hear him. This breaks my heart. Do any of you know the strain and suffering my heart feels when man breaks my rules and ignores me? You would not. You would not know the anger that I feel when a soul hurts another soul, or the magnitude of disappointment I feel when man continues to serve his own will. Why am I sharing all of this with you now? Because, beloved, my work of salvation is about me wanting to share all I have with man, but man does not want to do as I ask. They continue to make everything about themselves and not about me. I am not a self-centered God who thinks only about himself. I do not demand praise, worship, or love, and yet these things man demands for himself, does he not? Do you understand what I am trying to tell you? Why are you making my son's announcement about you? That day is not even about him. It is about my will and the bride. I love all of you more than you will ever know. I would like to think that because we spend more time together than anyone else, you would try to be different than this world, that you would stand above man's thoughts. Instead, serve my heart, my thoughts, my will, and serve my desires. But yet, you do not. You continue to doubt, to wonder, to question me. Why? Is it because your faith is not that strong? Is it because you think you know more than I do? Are you afraid of what is to come if my son is not announced or is announced? Again, do you not trust me? Have I ever misled you or lied to any of you? Are you all part of some fantastic mystical team of fools? I created all of you. I formed this team. I have taught all of you and your spouses over these years. These meetings are one of the most intimate moments we can share with one another outside of a divine service. I will also add that in this moment, no man corrupts my will or my word. My son would never change one word I give him to share with you, but yet the servants of today speak of themselves. They share what they want. They share what they want to with my children. They poison their hearts and feed their own egos at Satan's troughs of self-service. Again, all this breaks my heart. I wonder why man believes he knows better. This is nothing new to me. I have been fighting with man since I created him. Would you like to know why I put up with them? Why with you? It is because of what I know you can all become. It is because of what I laid in your hearts the day I created you, that you deny me. I created all of you for a greater purpose than other people. Do you understand that? And because of that, one reason, I expect more from all of you. I include you spouses in that statement as well. Have I ever removed my hand of favor from you? Have I ever turned my back on you? Ignored you? doubted you, laughed in your face, and then mocked you. This is what I received from man, and even you. All of you have broken my heart more than I would like to say. And yes, team, my beloved team, I still love all of you. Have I not forgiven you time and again? Do I not still draw you to my heart, hold you when you are weak, comfort you when you are downcast and hurting? Yes, I have. I will always be there for you. This is a covenant that we made with each other years ago. The last time I checked, I am not a flake or a wonderhead who cannot focus on my plan and fulfill it. I have never told you to do one thing and then contradict myself to do something completely opposite. I am consistent in all I do. I have your best interest in mind, which is my interest because you are all a part of me and I a part of you. We need each other. So help me. I will see this through the end. Now I ask all of you this question. Will you serve me and let go of your doubts? Will you stop focusing on yourselves and focus on the bride? Will you let me help you grow into the guardians I have already seen you become? Or will you too continue to fight with me? Honestly, I do not have the time. Oh, that is right. I am not bound by time. I need to come up with a better phrase. Let me think now. C-team, your father still has his sense of humor despite all of this. Even though mankind and my children hurt me and break my heart in time, I too can still laugh. Oops, I used that time phrase again. My dear children, yes, firstly, you are all my children. Then you are my guardians. My son is having a difficult time typing so early in the morning. Okay, just for a moment here, people. I wanted a backspace, and he told me not to because he wanted to make a joke. So that's all on him. I hope that brought a smile to your face. Do you know how often you all melt my heart, warm my being when you smile, laugh, and tell me that you love me? This is why I will continue to forgive you when you ask me, and why my love for you will never end. Now, my dear childrens, yep, I put those two words together. Am I not the creator? And do not listen to that Webster's guy when he tells you that this is not a real word. Sheesh, I'm declaring it to be real now. Okay, I'm laughing a little too. Let us switch gears for a moment and speak of the service that took place today. Trillions were there. Millions received the three sacraments, and hundreds went back into their realms they came from. I need all of you to fight, to pray for the last group, those who went back into the same realms. Your brothers and sisters have their hands full with these souls, but we shall succeed. Now, what of the Apostle Orlovsky, your Disc Apostle Kolb, and the Chief Apostle? The Apostle is still on the fence, as I said. The other two have been more open to HS when I send him to speak to them. These two men have spoken to each other about Triland. No, really. Childrians, please remember, when you look back into the past, if someone chooses to not serve my will, do I not find someone else? These three men fall into this category, just like the patriarchs of old. The Chief Apostle and Disc Apostle will continue to serve me as I have asked. Carl, on the other hand, is currently struggling with me and his own will. You will keep this information to yourself. I share things with you, not everyone. Do you all understand that? Yes, you do. Do not make me come down there. And then Father chuckled again. Now, my dear childrens, be filled with joy, peace and love, and know too that many times you please your father's heart and you make me LOL. Does anybody have any comments? I will give you a moment to absorb what Father said.
Was he yelling?
He did raise his voice at a couple points, but Father doesn't yell. He was probably very adamant. as he gave me this message. He is frustrated. I'll use that word.
Did he stand up from his throne?
He did not. He
okay.
sat at the table. He calmly, he was being very Italian as he was talking with his hands. But if you could see the crinkles in the corner of his eyes, not because he's old, he would smile at different points, especially like when I messed up and fat-fingered gardenias. I did. I backspaced, and he goes, "No, boy, leave it alone and keep typing." He goes, "We need to put a little humor in here because I am chastising everybody and I need them to know I love them." I said, "Okay." The whole Childreans, that's him. I looked at him and went, "Seriously?" He goes, "Yes." Okay. I don't know about you, team, but I am shaking. My heart hurts. I have read this to myself 4 times now. I have broke down and cried a couple times, especially when Father said that we mock him and we've done that to him. I don't think sometimes we realize by our own actions and our thoughts, as Father said, we deny him and he expects more from us. He doesn't spend any more time with any other group of people on this planet than us. I can confidently say that to you. He doesn't, because of the responsibility he's given us. Give me a minute to breathe. If you'd like to say something, please do.
I know. I've been feeling distant. How do we become closer? How do we drop these earthly things? It's so damn difficult to do this. Try. I know it's something I'll never overcome when I'm here, but how? It's difficult. I don't know what else to say other than that. I mean, how do we come closer? How do we do the things he's expecting of us? I know we meditate and we ground ourselves and we protect our space. It just seems like there should be a next level almost. If that makes sense.
A next level per se, as far as
coming closer to him.
Right. Okay.
Just, yeah. As you know, Tryland, I've felt distanced from him for whatever reason. And
right.
It's been, I come to him and when I do come to him, he's happy to see me and he hugs me and we talk and we speak. And then it's like the minute I stop meditating, it's like I'm that far away from him again and it hurts and it's almost like you want to be in a constant state of meditation and I, for whatever reason, can't get there and stay there. I feel like there's others that have a much better connection, a much stronger connection. I just don't know how to increase what I've got already. And I don't know how to change myself for the better. I mean, you try and try and try, but it still gets you. So the things that he said today, I agree with him, and he's 100% correct, because probably everything he mentioned I've done, and then some. And it's difficult to, again, as a human being, to overcome those things. And I know he loves us and he forgives us for the things that we do, but I feel that distance and I close the gap, and then for whatever reason that distance comes right back again and I can't seem to overcome it. I don't know if anybody else is struggling with that, but that's something personally I've been struggling with. And I know there are other team members that are probably feeling even worse than I am, because at least I get to be part of this call. So how do we overcome these things? How do we get closer? Do we just wait till the 6th? Is it the 5th of June? Do we just wait? The 11th.
No.
Okay.
No. I'm
just struggling with all those things. And again, I don't know if I'm the only one. I doubt it, but
you are not.
What do we do?
Does anybody else want to share what they're feeling too?
Yeah. That sounds right on par with what I feel too. It's like as soon as you're done talking with them, then it's back to life and it's back on the grind and you're trying to get back out of your bad habits, but it's so hard.
How long has it been since you've asked your healing master for a healing? Because I was feeling very similar. I felt really distant, like I couldn't, almost like I couldn't do anything right, so to speak. And then I realized that it had been almost over a month since I asked my healing master to go through all of my chakras with me and clear anything and everything out. And after I did that, it became much easier to stay in the center of my mind. And I felt closer.
Well, I'm definitely willing to give that a shot. I mean, I try to do that once a month just because I need it. But when I do it, it does help, of course, but it's like, I guess it's just a constant maintenance thing, and it's becoming more and more constant. We have to work harder and harder and harder for it, and I guess it's understandable, and I guess it's just part of what it is. I guess it's part of our gig. It's what we have to do. I don't know.
You're correct. And because we're so close to the end of all these promises Father's made us to actually have to happen, Satan and his are fighting us even stronger. Even though he's bound, he still has a strong influence. I can feel all your hearts, and I can feel the angst that you feel. I know that you feel that you're all alone. I have tried to explain to Father what that feels like in flesh, because Father's never experienced that, and Jesus and I have spoken a lot about it, and I've asked him to try and explain to Father how, when we're with him, sometimes we still feel alone. And, you know, how is that even possible? We're right there with him, but we feel a disconnect. It has a lot to do with the sin that you and I create. That creates the space between him and us. It's our inability to overcome ourselves. It's the doubt that you and I have at times that severs that connection with Father and hurts him the most. And I told him, you have to understand, as a human being, when you tell us that things are going to happen, it's not that we don't think that they're going to happen, but it's even as he addressed, how's it going to happen? I said, you always got a plan, Father, but you don't share the details with us. And you created us to be curious and to be wondering how things come about. I said, and then you kind of fault us when we ask you why. You have to open our understanding. For me, he did that today. And I'll be honest with you, I have felt disconnected from my Father too, because life gets in the way. The stress is insane in all of our lives. Things that you and I thought were not that big a deal for us are now a huge deal. And we would think that because Satan's been bound and all evil is bound, that things would have gotten easier, and it's not, which is insane when you think about it. But I also think that on many levels, it's you and I complicating things more than they need to be. I spent some time with my healing master this week, so Nuke is correct. Spend time with your healing master. I know that a lot of the teams were fractured again, and we're now putting them back together. Do not get discouraged that your team fell apart. It's not because of something you did. Okay? I want to preface that. I know that everybody is vigilant. I know that everybody has their natural life that they have to take care of, and sometimes you feel like you're taking Father and you're putting him on the back burner, but Father does understand that you and I have to work. We have families we have to take care of. There's been this illness that's been sweeping through the world as far as health goes, different viruses and illnesses that take their toll, and you and I are fighting all those things. Plus, we're fighting everybody around us and the negativity that is this world. If you and I can do the dailies and we can do the maintenance and we can spend time with Father, I would encourage you to spend more time with him. if you go and talk with Father, don't feel that you can't say something to him. I also think that you and I, when we're in front of him, we just want him to talk to us. You have got to, and I have to, and recently I did this week. I unloaded on him. I wasn't yelling. I just pretty much calmly said, here's everything that's bothering me, and I don't know how to deal with it anymore. So I need your help. He gave me a big hug. He opened my understanding, and he said he would help. I said, $1 million would really help. I'm just throwing that out there. You know, money does help things go by quicker. He chuckled, yeah. But it's important, my friends, that you somehow pull yourself out of the funk that all of us are in. That's why these meetings are so important. I can't stress it enough. And it hurt him, I'll tell you that. It hurt him to say what he said to us tonight. And he wasn't singling any one person out. He was speaking directly to all of us because all of us have failed. But he didn't end it by going, all of you go to your room and think about what you did. He ended it by telling us he fills our hearts with joy and peace and he loves us. There's no quick fix to this. I guess that's what I'm trying to tell you, Atmos. And I don't want you to think that you have failed him more than anybody else of us. That's not what's going on here. We all are getting haunted, is a good word, by the spirit of depression. I will tell you that I bound the spirits this week just so we could have a little bit more peace. And I will tell you that even though demons and spirits are bound at certain points, that doesn't cut them off completely from influencing. Okay? For instance, I received a text from somebody on the team saying we don't need to do the bind and sweep anymore, right, because all evil is bound. And I responded back with, yes, you still need to do the bind and sweep because I have now bound evil, and if there's evil inside of somebody or in their home, it's now there. So we need to continue to do the bind and sweep. I know that someone on the team had a spirit actually inside of them pretending to be an angel. This is very confusing. Why would Father even allow that? Because you and I can never let our guards down, guardians, ever. And this is all just, again, a training ground for you and I when everything becomes more public, that we focus and we're paying attention to everything that's around us. I've asked Father to open everybody's understanding, to open everybody's eyes, to open everybody's heart more, to see the things that we're all missing. I guess that's what I'm going to say. For some reason, we're all missing something that's going on, and then all of a sudden, after you and I have fallen into a hole, we realize now then we're there. Well, now how are we going to get out of this? And we're reaching up to Father, and we feel like he's not there. He is. But if we're not doing the basic things that Father's asked of us, he's so, and I'm trying to find the right word because he's listening to me. Here's a good word. Exact in what he tells us to do that he's not going to change to make it work for you and me. Does that make sense? He's already told us what we need to do. And if we're not going to do it, he's not going to go, well, okay, well, then maybe you should try this. And then we don't do that. And he's going to go, okay, well, let's try this then. Because you're not listening to me, so I'll just keep giving you answers until you finally do. Yeah, he's not like that. We know that. Am I making any sense?
It makes sense. I guess it's just gotten harder quicker than I thought it would, if that makes sense.
It sure does.
Self-doubt also, if you think about it. So we're doing what we're supposed to, sometimes we're not, but also just that self-doubt, right? It could just be that, Amos, is that you're that little spirit, that little booger, that little doubt, that little Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Now, personally, every time I hear that, I'm like, nope, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But self-doubt is something that we are going to fight. And what's funny is I thought about how this whole announcement and everything is going to happen. I honestly have been struggling with it, but, you know, being so close to them, like, holy crap, this is going to be interesting. What is this? I mean, are people going to start Googling our name? Are we going to have reporters sitting outside our house? Luckily, I'm moving, so I won't be near them. I'll be really far away, you know, during the
good
announcement.
Plan.
So that, you know, it won't be a problem. But think of if everything that you're doing is making sense and you're trying, but you still doubt, it's self-doubt. Get rid of it. Kick it in the butt. Tell it to go away and move forward. Now, if you're not doing everything you're supposed to be doing, then you set yourself up for failure. Can I share, Trilyn, just briefly what I've been going through with rebuilding my whole everything?
Sure.
So many suggestions have come. Obviously, I'm struggling with a physical ailment. But spiritually, I have been so angry that I can't even meditate. That's something I've had to go through and redo. It was suggested that I rebuild the center of my mind, blow it up. Starlight said it, blow it up, just start over. I'm like, oh, all right, cool. So I did the whole Frank Lloyd Wright thing. I love his architecture. He bothered with, ah, that's pretty cool, and that looks nice. So, but you know, now I'm having to go back through and start over. Well, then our teams get corrupted. Ah, now what? Now I got to start all over with that. And it got to the point where, okay, I'll do the dailies. I can meditate. I can do whatever I need to help me through the day and not ring in someone's throat. I always tease about working from home. It's very easy to get along with yourself. But then there's so many times I'm screaming at myself because there's no one else to scream at, you know. And the day, all of a sudden, at 2 o'clock, I'm so angry and I'm so upset. It's like, what is going on here? That has been my months. We're talking at least 6 months. So I have now, I'm at a point where I'm at the end. And I kept telling Trilyn and I kept telling Starlight, I can't get the Father. I just can't get there. They give me suggestions and I've worked on it. This week I finally was able to get there. And it wasn't, and I'm telling you, and you all know me, all of a sudden I was there. I have been trying to get to Father for months. And all of a sudden I'm there. And he said, hi. And I went, hey, it's good to be here. And I said, what's going on? He said, that was all you, not me. He said, you just didn't want to be here. You built up all this other stuff, and you basically made it so self, what would you call it, deprecating and so difficult that you just couldn't get up here. And then I had to go back through after my visit with him to go, well, I don't know, did I? So there's that self-doubt, right? Even after I've got the Creator telling me it was me, I'm still going, eh, I don't know, you know? So I'm sharing this with you because even if you have that little bit, that thought, that wavering, that's enough to throw you off. Have you seen how a top can spin and how it's perfectly centered until it starts slowing down? And just a little bitty, boop, it'll fall over. That's where we are. And I think, like Trilyn said, we're at the end of these promises and all that. And constant contact, there's that commercial we all hear on the radio, right, about sending emails, constant contact. I now am in constant contact with Father. It's almost like you're praying constantly. You're always in His sight. And I will always try to maintain that connection. Obviously, it's easy for me. I don't have a family. I don't have children. I work at home. I can be very self-centered. But if you can try to remain spiritually connected to Father all the time, it will help. And all of the other stuff will fall into place. Choir?
Mm-hmm. Anybody want to add anything else about this? Please, this is an open forum.
This is Lauren. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I don't really know how this is going to go, so we're just going to try it. So I'm living back in Michigan, living with my parents, and I was really freaked out about starting a new job, and my dad gave me a healing. And basically, during the entire healing, Father was saying how I keep getting in the way of myself. And that's really frustrating because I'm a planner, and I like to be able to know what's going on, when things are going to happen. And he basically said that he made us all the way that we are, but we also need to overcome ourselves. And that was really frustrating and really difficult to swallow. and I'm still obviously working on it because it was just a few days ago, and it's not something you can easily fix. But it was kind of an eye-opener to know that I need to overcome myself to be able to grow to my full potential. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, everybody get out of your own way.
Yeah.
Easier said than done.
Well, that's the whole gist.
Mm-hmm.
We got to overcome ourselves, right?
Right.
I mean, just because we're on this team doesn't mean we. It's not like chutes and ladders where you get on the ladder and you go all the way to the front. You know.
Be nice.
But it's because we have to overcome ourselves daily. Like Paul said, we have to die daily. You know. It was,
that finally makes sense.
Well, yeah. I mean, we have to. The connection with the Lord is what we have to seek. Us, we are the ones that get ourselves in that path by separating ourselves, you know, not overcoming ourselves, right? I mean, we definitely have to overcome ourselves. But that just, you know, Father knows the sinner that I am. He knows my weaknesses, and he knows my I don't know, the stumbling blocks that I pick up and throw in front of my way. You know? And the effort has to be made on a daily basis to use those, remove the stumbling block or use it as a stepping stone.
Yeah.
It's hard to hear, but it's true. All of it.
So you're not alone.
No.
No, not at all.
But that definitely makes me feel better. No, I'm not the only one, that I will admit. And thanks for the suggestions and the wisdom and It will take a little while for it to sink in, but let's start picking things back up here and starting from the beginning again, it feels like. So maybe I'll do what you suggested there, Francis.
That's the most important thing that you have to do is start over again. Make the effort of starting over again. Make the effort to recognize that there's a distance between you and Father, right? I say that for myself, you know. I look at myself and go, okay, what's going on? Well, I have separation. There's a gap. Well, what'd you do? Okay, these are the things that have made me separate myself from Father. But to recognize it, not that we, you know, the biggest tragedy would be if we look around and go, well, I don't know what's going on. You know, make the effort. That we have to recognize, hey, this is the location that I'm at. I need to be closer. I want to be closer. You know, we live in the time of grace. And so in this time of grace, we must make the effort to draw and make the effort to get closer to what Father has. and we will fail. And in failure, you'll get great success, right? If everything went according to plan, and if everything was perfect, you wouldn't know the failures that you have. You know, you would improve. You'd be remaining in the same level.
Makes sense. Thank you, everyone, for participating and sharing. Father is the grand king of do-overs and forgiving us. So the important thing is that we pick ourselves up and we keep going. We're not done yet. We haven't even got this party started yet, per se. I will reiterate that even though demons and spirits are bound, they can still influence. Okay, so that still means we have to be on our guards. Do not let your guard down. Do not think that you can kind of back off a little bit and everything's hunky-dory. It is not. Okay? A couple weeks ago, sent an email about liberating hospitals and churches and such when we drive past them. Does anybody have any questions about that subject before we move forward?
I do.
Okay.
So I remember that when I went into the graveyard yesterday, you know. And so basically, you how run that through again. So it's like you release the souls that are stuck in the area that you're in, like a church or a graveyard or.
When a soul passes, they have the choice to either stay where they are here on this earth or go into eternity and face the consequences of the life they lived. If they stay here, they are literally bound and cannot receive any help. That's how Father set this up. It's kind of an oxymoron. If they want help, then they have to go into eternity first, listen to what our brothers and sisters have to say, and then when they are given the opportunity to come to the service for the departed, then they have to come back here again to receive the grace from the altar Jesus established. There are a number of souls who are so stubborn that they don't want to accept the fact that they've done anything wrong. Sometimes they don't even want to admit that they've died. Or they want to stay where they are because they just don't want to move forward and accept what they've done. When I drove past, for years now, anytime we've driven past a cemetery, I've had souls cry out, please help me, because now they've decided that they've been there for a period of time, even though they are not bound by time. They can see that things are not moving for them, and now Father gives them this sense of understanding that he's not going to change again his laws to make them happy. Now they realize they have to go into eternity. Well, now they don't have the opportunity to do it on their own. So Father has now given us the opportunity to assist them. Anytime we drive past a cemetery, your lead will dispatch angels to those cemeteries if there's anybody there, and they will help them enter into eternity and take them to the realm that they belong. A couple weeks ago, I was sitting at a traffic light, and out of the blue, somebody was calling my name from a church across the street from where I was sitting, and I looked in, and there was a number of souls, and they said, "We would like help, please." So I asked my lead, Stotharian, to send angels, and they ushered these souls out of the church into eternity. When I worked in the hospitals for 7 years, I would just see them wandering the hallways. They'd be riding the elevators. One of them said to me, "I don't want your help." And I said, "I wasn't offering it. Have a nice day." This is what this is about. Anybody?
So there's nothing special?
There is not.
We just pray that send your lead to help them.
Just be aware of the fact that you're driving past something like that and listen. Maybe they'll call out to you or not, but your lead will take care of it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That's easier.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, what about...
Can I ask a question?
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. So if they're stuck here, do they know how to get to eternity, or do they have to be... Is it that they have to be helped by one of your angels? I don't understand that.
That is correct.
So they're
when
stuck
a soul,
unless...
they're stuck. Because they're given 7 days when they pass to choose whether they want to stay where they are and not get help, or within that 7-day period of time, Father is willing to usher them into eternity and grant them the help that they want. Once that window of opportunity is closed, they are now stuck there because they made that decision. But Father is offering a little extra help now, and so the only way that they can get back into the realm that they belong in is to be ushered by an angel that Father can send through us. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's something that the team is able to do? Is that correct?
Correct. Yes. Our ultimate task is to protect the bride of Christ, defend the apostles' doctrine, and help bring the bride home. It is within those three scopes that this power and authority lies. Does everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can an apostle of Jesus Christ say to the soul, I'm going to send somebody and help you get into where you need? Sure can. Mm-hmm. Are they aware that this is an issue that's taking place currently? I don't think so. Anybody have any other questions on that? Okay. I was visited last week at this preparatory service to departed by a soul. He identified himself as Ulysses, and he is from the realm of the unforgiven. I'm sorry, the unforgivable. And I looked at him, and he said, it is not that your Father is not going to forgive us. It is that we who are in this realm cannot find the ability to forgive. Please don't forget us. So I'm bringing this realm to your attention. I spent a little time yesterday and the day before compiling a list of all the realms that the team has been exposed to. I'm trying to put down the list of it and then put a little bit of a blurb under it as far as what the condition is. When I get that done, we'll put it on the team website. I'll also email it to you, so that we can get a little bit more understanding of how many realms there are. Again, we still know very little about this. But for this realm, I told him that we would remember him, so please remember the realm of the unforgivable. Yesterday, someone from the realm of the forgotten came to my house. He said their families don't even think of them. That broke my heart. How can somebody within another family not think of their loved one? But it exists. So please remember them too. Does anybody have anything they want to share about anything that took place today?
I had an experience Friday that I went into a realm that was called the Executed. And so this is a realm where people who have been executed, whether by the government or by man's hand, you know.
Yes.
This is a very mixed-up realm. It's got victims of murder, you know. But you also have people that have been in jail. And you can actually go, well, he murdered like 16 people. Well, you know, people say, well, that's justifiable, you know. But it was a realm where such a feeling of hopelessness is there. I don't know if you've ever looked at someone get it executed. But when they get to the point that they know that it will happen, there's such a hopeless feeling that comes upon them because their life is ended by someone else against their will. You know what I mean?
Correct.
And it's just, it's a very complicated place, and it has lots of, like, hopelessness, dread, fear, anger, you know. It just depends on what situation. Everybody's, you know, different there. But it, you know, it prayed with them and, of course, remembered them. But it was just such a like a confused place. You know what I mean?
Yes. Anybody else?
You know, I just wanted to say that I too have been visited by souls from the realm of the forgotten. And but the ones that visited me, they had no family left. Some of the families were killed off. You know, if you read in the Bible in Kings, where as a new king would come into power, they'd kill off every single member of the family, all, you know, the parents, the children, the offspring, to basically squash that seed. So I've had individuals come, because I too was like, well, why isn't anyone in your family praying for you? You don't have one person who thinks about you or thinks about their ancestry. And they're like, we have no one in today's world because our entire family is gone. Yeah, I never thought about that before either.
Anyone else? Okay. I was at a funeral yesterday for a sister who was spoken highly of, who was termed a true servant of Jesus Christ in the way that she always extended her hand to help anybody she could, was always there with humor. She thought outside of the box sometimes. She sent a lot of cards to people that were shut-ins. She did a lot of wonderful things. When I saw her standing next to her body, she was bound in some chains. She was a faithful new apostolic, and I kind of looked up at Father, and he said, all the good things that she did, I have seen, but it does not negate the fact that she judged and she ridiculed people. He said she will have to answer for that. And at the point where they released the body, but we don't really release the body, Father does, but they do say that dust to dust, ashes to ashes, part of the ceremony, two angels actually took her by the arms and started leading her away. And I looked at Father and I said, wait a minute. I said, the realms should be unlocked by now. And he said, yes, they are. But she will be ushered into her prospective realm, and then she will be allowed to come tomorrow morning to the service. And that's all he said. When I was talking to the relative of this sister, Father revealed to me that the reason why he did what he did to send her back into this realm was because she is also a grand testifier. This woman would testify to people that she never met, that the grocery stores. My mom has that same ability. And I said to this daughter, I said, Father's sending your mother back into this realm the way she is bound, so she can testify to these people that are in the same condition that she's in. I said, and he said that she will be freed tomorrow after the service. I said, and then what he's going to do is send her back to show them that she was not lying. I said, and because your mom is such a grand testifier, I'm pretty sure she's going to drag some of those people kicking and screaming to come to the service. So it's a win-win. I'm sharing this with you, my dear friends, because you and I do such wonderful things, and then we betray our thoughts by making some kind of stupid judgment. I do it too. You know, what's with that idiot in front of me? Why can't he find the accelerator? It was an innocent comment, right? You're frustrated, you're aggravated, it's no big deal. The brother of this sister said to me, but I know my sister would have asked Father to forgive her. I said, you're correct. She probably did in a blanket statement to Father saying, please forgive me for this sin and that sin, but I'm pretty sure that all of us don't realize the implication of a judgment and how much weight that bears on us. And unless you acknowledge it to Father, he's going to let it remain. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You got a whole lot of explaining to do.
We all do. We don't get a get-out-of-jail-free card because we're guardians. As Father said in his statement to us, he expects more from you and I because we're guardians. He expects us to be a better example. I can honestly say I have failed miserably in certain days, but I have made a conscious effort as of this week to actually stop my thought before I would say something about somebody. Even if it was just this tiny little criticism, it doesn't matter anymore. This is going to be Father's focus the day that he announces me this is his will, that you and I do not judge. We don't have that right. And he's going to hold everybody accountable that does. And so it became a huge red light for me when I watched this all take place last night. And it shook me to the core of my existence that I'm not going to judge anybody. I'm going to try my best. Because I have jokingly said things, and then I look at Father and go, put that on my tab. We'll talk about it on Saturday or, you know, this week when we see each other. It can't be a joke anymore. It can't be. This is serious, okay? Anybody have any comment? All right. I have one more thing I'd like to share with you. A friend of mine said the chief apostle actually defined what the sin against the Holy Spirit is. I asked him to send it to me, and this is it. The chief apostle said, "We are absolutely sure that Jesus can forgive absolutely everything. And one could say, no, there is one sin that cannot be forgiven. I am quite often asked about this sin, the sin against the Holy Spirit. This is the one that cannot be forgiven, and what does it mean? It is easy to explain. The task of the Holy Spirit is to announce Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Savior. That is the task of the Holy Spirit, to announce Jesus Christ is the Savior. The sin against the Holy Spirit is when I say the Holy Spirit is a liar. That is to say that Jesus Christ is not the Savior. That is a sin against the Holy Spirit. And for sure, when I say no, the Holy Spirit is a liar, Jesus Christ is not the Savior, then Jesus cannot forgive me. To obtain grace, I need to believe in Jesus Christ the Savior, the Son of God. So, in other words, a faithful child of God who believes that Jesus Christ is a Savior cannot commit the sin against the Holy Spirit because they believe in Jesus. Does anybody have any questions?
Can you say that last part again?
I can. So in other words, a faithful child of God who believes in Jesus, that Jesus is the Savior, cannot commit the sin against the Holy Spirit because they believe in Jesus.
Yes.
Okay.
Pretty hard to do that.
Right.
I feel bad for those that don't believe in Jesus Christ.
Right.
Yeah.
But because of Father's grace,
that Jesus Christ is not the Savior. You know, like you have certain religions that state that. You know.
Correct.
They say there's
that
only one God, but Allah.
Spirit.
You know.
Right.
Say God is, you know, Allah is God, and the Prophet is, you know.
No.
Correct.
A lot of people.
This will be posted in the notes. You can look at it yourself if you'd like to. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to add or comment on? We are near the hour. It went by quickly.
So that sin is removed when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Correct. Correct.
Well, that's not that bad.
Yeah, it can still be forgiven. So that's the major difference between, but you have to believe, right? So,
yeah, you
so
can't
there's,
go, well, no, it's yeah,
right.
Kind of like that. Either cake.
So
or dad,
every sin can be forgiven, and every sin will be forgiven. But you got to believe that the guy that's doing it can do it.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you paint my house? I don't know. Well, paint my house. You know what I mean? It's so funny. I'm laughing about it now, but you're right. We've always worried about the sin against the Holy Spirit. Well, what could it ever pertain to us? But now we have a better understanding in those realms, right? Where they're like, what? What's Jesus? Who's Jesus? I mean, remember that one realm I went into? They're like, who's that guy? And Jesus showed up, and they're like, who's that? Like, what do you mean, who's that? That's the guy I was talking about. Him.
But isn't it different, though, if someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ, as opposed
right.
to the one who denies Jesus Christ, then I don't
right.
know what that would be.
So there's a new understanding against that, or with that, so interesting.
Okay. I all week was struggling with the idea of who to ask to pray with me, and not one of your names came across my heart. And now as I sit in this moment, I can understand why. So I will be the only one who prays this time, okay? So as my dad would say, close your eyes and fold your paws. Father, we come before you and we say thank you first, that you are always so open, that you're always willing to share your heart with us, which is something that you have not done in the past. And even though these were hard words to hear, we accept them because we have not done as you have asked. And when those doubts creep in and those moments of fear hit our hearts and we start to let our mind wander, all of a sudden there's a distance that's created between you and I and us. And soon, Father, we find that we can barely even see you. It's in those moments that we panic and we seek, Father, to come closer to you. And because of the sin that we do, there's a gap that's created. But because Jesus died for us, Father, and we can plead and ask him to plead on our behalf, and he does, and you are so kind to extend grace and favor to us, you forgive us, you draw us closer to you. See the hearts of my friends here, all of them. I include the spouses as my friends as well. We are all in this together. You made the blanket statement that you created us, and you have taught us, and you spend time with us, and you share some of the most intimate moments with us outside of a divine service. This is very humbling to us, that out of the billions of people you've created in time, you would choose us to serve in this capacity. We, from this point forward, Father, will make a new covenant with you. We will try harder to not hurt you, to not disappoint you, to not break your heart. We will try harder to be the guardians that you have already seen us be. And we will support you in everything that you ask of us. We will protect the bride. We will defend this doctrine. And we will help bring the bride home. And even when those doubts creep in, Father, please see our hearts and know. It's only because we wonder, how's it all going to happen? What's going to take place? How can it be? And we ask, Father, that you would give us the strength to overcome ourselves. See the hearts here that feel wounded, that are broken, that are hurting, because we feel ashamed, that you would have to say these things to us. You didn't do this because you're looking to guilt trip us or hurt us back in any way. You are not vindictive and you are not mean. But with a loving hand, Father, you draw us closer to you. But I'll be honest, we kind of feel like we were spanked. Yep, we do. And that's okay. Because we need correction. We will take the correction, Father. But we ask now that you will please give us a little bit of comfort. As you ended, you said you would fill our hearts with joy and love. And we appreciate that very much. See the concerns that rest on our friends and family's hearts. For our natural life, Father, for our health, there's been such horrible illnesses going around where everybody's getting something. It's like we're living in this diseased world. Please give us the health that we need to stay strong and healthy, and our kids too. And we pray, Father, for your blessing on our congregations, on our brothers and sisters, for the future and that which it holds. We pray for our chief apostle, disc apostle, our apostle, all those that are connected with them, that they would see the light, Father, that when the time is right, they'll hear HS, they'll serve your will, and that we can all come home That is just what we want, Father. It's that simple. But we know that while we're here, we have to take care of ourselves. We have to live our lives. We have to work our jobs. And we know, Father, that everything that we would ever need has already been given to us. And even in the service this morning, you unlocked in our hearts everything that we would have to get through this coming week. And that brings a smile to us, because this week does not scare us. It should be afraid of us, because we are ready for it. And we are not tempting the powers that be to come and haunt us and take care of us in some horrible way. We are showing, Father, we have confidence in the words that you give us. Spark the hearts of the servants who serve us, Father, that they stop serving out of themselves and they allow the Holy Spirit to work through them. This is one of my greatest wishes. And we pray, Father, that if there is something we have forgotten, that you will cover it. We pray for eternity, Father, one more time. We will always pray for them every day. But in this moment, Father, we think of all those who received grace today. The uncountable multitude that we can't comprehend, you know exactly how many were sealed, how many were baptized, and how many partook of Holy Communion. We pray for that group, Father, that went back into the realms they came from. That breaks our heart, too, just so you know. We pray for them with our whole heart, and we will bring special offerings for them over the next couple weeks, that they too can receive grace, that they can receive understanding, and all the realms that we're aware of, Father, we pray for them as well, that they know that they are not forgotten. Cover everything with your grace, Father, according to your will, we pray these things and know how much we love you and appreciate you. Thank you, Father. Please hear us. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, everybody.
Amen.
Love all of you very much.